Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
November 14th, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, the second shooter. Welcome back to another Digital Story podcast. I have lots to talk about today, and hopefully stuff that you will find interesting as you commute to work, as you hang out at the office, as you do whatever you do when you listen to this podcast. I'm going to talk about the second shooter. Now, in the early days of my photography, I didn't think about the second shooter very much because I was the only shooter. I was the only one on the job. The editor would say, go take a picture of this, and out I would go with my camera bag and try to get the best shot that I could. Then, a little bit later in my career, I decided to team up for a while with a Brooks graduate named Dennis Tannen, a professional commercial photographer. Now, I said teaming up, right? What teaming up was for me was, hey, man, can I hang out with you and learn everything that you know? And he said, sure enough, if you're the second shooter or if you'll just help out, then I'd be more than happy to show you the tricks of the trade. And I learned a lot of tricks. And I owe a lot to Dennis, as we all owe things to photographers along the way who have helped us. Then I started to get more into event photography, weddings and conferences and things like that. And I decided that a second shooter was absolutely necessary. You need that second camera. But you know, as life goes on, slowly but surely, I grasped things. I start to learn things. And I learned that, you know what? A second shooter is handy in all sorts of situations. And sometimes I'm the second shooter. And life, as it goes on, is the primary photographer. And I'll explain what I mean by that in just a few moments. First, I want to take care of a little virtual camera club business. I have a few notes for you this week. For those of you who go to the site, you may have noticed we have a new sponsor over there on the right-hand column. Expo Disc is a new Digital Story sponsor. I want to welcome them aboard. Their slogan is simply better color, simply better pictures. And you can find Expo Disc at www.expodisc.com. Now, I'm really excited to have them on board. As you may know from other discussions I've had, I go out and get sponsors that I think, you know, really help what we're doing here. It's not just, hey, man, you know, I know that nobody really uses two-legged tripods, but you would be a great sponsor for the Digital Story. Please give us some money so I can pay the ISP fees. You notice I really kind of worked up to the ISP fees because, you know, that's something that can make you sound really bad on radio. Anyway, so I'm not that kind of, you know, I don't run that kind of show. So I started working with Expo Disc when I was in Iceland, a little before actually, and I used their product, the Expo Disc, all the time in Iceland and have been hooked on it ever since. I've talked about it a little bit in some earlier shows on white balance and so forth, and I will be talking about it some more, as you can imagine, in the future. But right now, I just want to tell you that using the Expo Disc in your custom white balance menu item on your camera is one of the most powerful ways to get accurate color up front and save you a whole ton of time in post-production. So we'll be talking more about that later. Right now, I encourage you to go over to expodisc.com. Take a look at what they have to say over there. We'll be talking more about over here. And I just want to welcome them aboard the Digital Story. I think they're a great addition to our camera club here, along with Boinks Software, who make Photo Magico, and you can find them at photomagico.com, a longtime sponsor of the Digital Story and still going strong. Really appreciate the support of both Boink Software and now ExpoDisc. I want to talk about photo assignment for just a moment. Did you guys take a look at last month's photo assignment, the October photo assignment on reflection? Oh my gosh, did we have some great shots there or what? I mean, what a nice looking gallery and a great participation. Entries started coming in early in the month, and I had a feeling it was going to be a good assignment. And boy, oh boy, did it turn out to be a great one. So thanks to all of you who contributed for the October assignment. I'm just really pleased with the gallery, and I thought from top to bottom, you all did a great job. And now we have the November assignment going, Juxtaposition. And, I've already received some entries for November. And I have to tell you, this one has high fun potential, Juxtaposition. It sort of brings out a little something in people, a little creativity, a little wackiness maybe. And, you know, there are all sorts of juxtapositions in life all around us. And it's kind of fun to spend a little time to go out and look for those or keep our eyes peeled for them and then try to capture them with our camera. So I really hope you have a chance to participate in this assignment this month for November, Juxtaposition, because I think it's going to be yet another banner gallery, and I'd really like you to be a part of it. Of course, if you want to submit, all you have to do is go to the submissions page on thedigitalstory.com, and you'll get all the info there. Be very careful about the subject line. Make sure that you follow the instructions for the subject line carefully, because I get a lot of mail, and I'd hate for your entry to get misplaced because you didn't, fill out the subject line correctly. So pay close attention to that. Make sure that subject line is correct, and I will do all my best to get you in the gallery for Juxtaposition. Last thing, grab shots. Keep them coming. Looking good, having a great time. And remember, don't forget to give me that little paragraph of information with it, because I have to tell you, the story that you tell is as fun for me as the shot itself. And of course, if you want information on any of this stuff, go to www.thedigitalstory.com. Nose around, you can find grab shots under the pop-up menu in the upper right-hand corner. You can find photo assignment in the pop-up menu in the upper right-hand corner. You can go to the submissions page and see information for submitting all of this stuff. It's all right there. It's waiting for you. Go on over, get your stuff going, get your pictures online. Okay, so much for Camera Club business. Let's get back to the second shooter. So I want to start out with just an overview of my thinking around the second shooter, my philosophy around it, and why I think it's important. And it starts with this basic rule in photography, in that there are two types of photographs, interesting ones and ones that aren't. Okay, what does that have to do with the second shooter, you may be asking? Well, it actually has a lot to do with it. And I'm going to use weddings as an example, although I can apply it to all sorts of assignments. But we'll use weddings because we all know what goes on at a wedding. Okay, at a wedding, normally speaking, I'm the primary shooter if it's my wedding. Someone's hired me. They say, "We love your photographs. Please do our wedding." I say, "Great." And so we work out a shot list and we figure out all the shots we have to do. Well, we have to do a group shot with mom and dad and my two sisters and my brother, and then mom and dad and my brother's wife and my sister's husband and mom and dad and me. And then it just like goes on and on and on. And this next thing you know, I've got this group shot list that, I'm a pretty tall guy. And if I had it on paper and held it up, it would like drop all the way to the floor. That list would be so long. So then I go through the process of saying, you've got mom and dad in like 32 shots here. Maybe we could pare it down to an even half dozen or so, because after a while, these shots are going to be, well, maybe a little boring. I know it's a very special day, and I know everyone looks great, but I think we can work our magic and get everyone that you want in the group shots without doing, 500 variations on that theme. And usually I'm fairly successful at getting that list whittled down. But the bottom line is I still got a whole bunch of group shots to do. And I know even though they're necessary, they are not the most interesting shots of the day. This is where the second shooter comes in. So while I'm working the group shots, getting everyone, posed, making sure everyone's tie is straight, making sure everyone's looking at the camera, not at, something that's going off to the side of me, all that sort of stuff. I bring the second shooter in and I let she or he just sort of work the whole scene there, shoot from some side angles, get some off-moment interactions in between the shots. Maybe get some people that are watching, watch those interactions. Maybe do some low angles, maybe do some high angles, maybe shoot from behind. Just kind of look for great shots while I'm doing, smile, one, two, smile, one, two, smile. Okay, that was just three of those. You imagine how it feels when this thing goes on for 45 minutes. So in this case, then, the second shooter is important for a couple reasons. One, because it's my really only hope of getting an interesting shot while we're doing this very mundane task of doing group photos. Second, if something goes wrong with my camera, or I run out of batteries, the flash cord stops working, I run out of memory, whatever it happens to be, if something goes wrong with my camera, I have another camera right there that's fired up and ready to go. Second shooter hands me his or her camera. I keep on going. That's another very important aspect of the second shooter, because not only is this person getting your interesting shots for you or free to get them, this person is also taking care of your backup camera and making sure that it's set right and firing properly and all that sort of stuff. So two very important aspects, okay, to this shoot. Backup equipment, get good shots. Let me indulge you in a slight tangent for a moment around the equipment. Now, even though when I do the podcast and when I post on the site, I really don't advocate any particular type of equipment or brand over another. I think there is a lot of great photo equipment out there. And quite frankly, I'd love to have it all, available for me to use anytime I want it. The fact of the matter is, for my own equipment, I have to make a choice and I have to choose a specific type. Now, I think it's important that whatever equipment you're using, that your second shooter is using compatible equipment. So if you're both shooting Nikon or you're both shooting Canon, it's going to be a lot easier, or whatever else you have, than if one is shooting Nikon and one is shooting Canon. Because, as you can imagine, if the flash goes wacko on one of the cameras, you want to be able to either throw the whole rig over or at least toss the flash over, and then the second shooter can go to existing light while you use the backup flash. It's really nice also, I think, to be able to exchange lenses. I love second shooters that have lenses I don't have, especially in the wide angle range. It's really cool, and they got some nice 10 millimeter lenses or something like that, something fun that I don't normally carry. So compatible equipment, I think, is really important for the second shooter, because that way you have maximum flexibility, keeping in mind that one of the primary roles of the second shooter is to be a backup for equipment when things go wrong, or when you just need a different look, or you need a different lens, or you just need something different because you're stuck in the water and you're looking at your second shooter going, help me, help me. I'm taking boring pictures. And then maybe they can come up with something. This leads to another very interesting area, which is moral support. Now, I didn't list it in the, you know, the official criteria for a second shooter, which would be, you know, equipment and a variety of shots. But sometimes you just need moral support, or you need someone to talk to over the course of the shoot to try to figure things out. Try to figure out a lighting situation. Try to figure out how to get the groom to smile. What kind of beer does he like? Is there someone here that, you know, just on and on and on. Anything that you can think of. Sometimes you just need someone to, you know, tell you, hey, hang in there. I know this is a little rough patch, but then I think after we get through this, the rest of the shoot's going to be really good. And then there's the kind of the smorts. I did my one for the show there. Then there's the sports thing, too, that I say, which is, you know, to me, event photography is like game day, and you never really know how good you're going to be that day. Is it going to be a great day? Is it going to be a mediocre day? Am I really going to bite today? You don't know. At least I don't know when I go into it. Some days I feel great, and I just shoot, you know, very average. Other days, you know, I'm like, oh, nothing's working. I don't feel good. I have a headache. My legs are tired, and I take great shots. Go figure. And the same thing used to happen to me when I played ball. I don't know. But the thing that I do know is that if there are two of you, the odds of one of you having a very good day is much better than if there's only one of you. So the second shooter also is your hope for somebody. You're doubling your odds that someone's going to have a great day and get some really good shots. Now, you have to keep your ego in check for this to work, right? If your ego is very fragile around these sort of things, and if you always have to take the best shot, and if you always have to be the one that's the star and in charge, then you're going to have problems, because if you hire good people or if you work with good people, they are going to have good days, and some days they are going to shoot better than you. That's just the way it is in photography, and quite frankly, it's the way it is in life. You have to make that be okay. You have to be okay with the other person having a fabulous shoot, you having an average shoot, and go, man, I'm glad one of us nailed it today, because I just wasn't clicking. I always felt like I was a half a second behind every shot. And there will be days when you have a great shoot and the other person can't get his lens screwed on properly. Really, that's just the way it is. And it's got to be okay both ways, because at the end of the day, what really counts are that you have great pictures for whomever you're shooting those pictures for, even if they're for, you know, yourself, but most likely a client. But you got to come away with great shots, and you basically have to do whatever it takes, within the legal law, of course, to get those great shots. And a lot of times that means that someone else is going to get some of the stars of the day. You're just going to, you know, you're going to be in there taking care of the shots that need to be taken care of. And then you might get the great shot. Someone else might get the great shot. It doesn't make any difference to the client. All the client knows is that they hired you and they got great shots, and they don't care who took them. Okay. And neither should you. Okay. So that's sort of, you know, the second shooter in sort of formal professional terms. But then I've discovered in the Zen of photography that the second shooter can mean more than that. And in fact, sometimes I'm the second shooter and life is the photographer. Now, what do I mean by that? That sounds like I have been hitting the sauce before breakfast, which I never do before breakfast. So what I mean is, I'll give you an example. Let's say that it is team photo day for your daughter's soccer team. Okay. You obviously are not the team photographer. Hopefully you're not, because that's just a dreadful job, taking those shots all day. And those of you out there listening to the show that do this for a living, my hat's off to you, because not only are you a good photographer, because you have to be a good photographer to do this, you have patience. And God bless you, because we need as many of you out there as possible, because those shots have to be taken. Sort of like what I was saying about doing the group shots in the wedding. You know, I just live to get through those, and that way I can get back to the photography that I really enjoy. So anyway, you're probably not taking those team photos, team photo after team photo. You know how they do? They just line them up all day or all afternoon or whatever. But if your daughter is having her photo taken as part of a team on one of these things, bring your camera along and be the second shooter to life. I'll tell you, these are great opportunities here. Because again, it's like the wedding example that I used earlier. The guy that's getting paid, he's going to get the shot that, you know, everyone expects. The nice group shot. Everyone's eyes are open. You can see everyone's face. Everyone's lined up properly, and the shot is exposed well. That's what he's getting paid to do. That's what he's going to do, and that's what everyone expects. If you come along with your camera and you are the second shooter, then maybe after the shot breaks up, everyone is still looking good. Everyone is still in their uniform. Everyone is still actually in a picture-taking frame of mind. There are tremendous opportunities here. Suddenly, you can say, grab your daughter and her best friend and say, hey, let's do a quick shot over here. Or you can say, hey, why don't you guys, kick the ball back and forth a little bit? Or why don't the three of you over here just have a little fun and let me take some shots? On and on and on. Or why don't I get a nice individual shot of my daughter the way that I want to shoot it? Maybe with a little rim lighting on the hair, a little fill flash. Oh my gosh, that looks awfully good. Now, it's not instead of the formal group shot, but boy, does it augment it nicely. And this is where you get to be the second shooter to life. There are great shots to be had in these situations. And, you know, all you got to do is make sure you don't get in the way of the regular photographer. But you're not going to do that. You're going to let him do his thing. And then when it breaks up, you can do your thing too. But I'm telling you, there are opportunities here, and a lot of times you don't need your full rig. All you need is a compact camera and know how to work it. So keep in mind that there are opportunities when you can be the second shooter to what's going on in life. And there are a lot of those opportunities. They happen every week, and is it your chance to really cash in and get some good-looking shots? And then when you show them to people, they go, wow. That's great. That's so cool. And they'll really be excited about, you know, the energy that you have in your images. They'll be glad they have the other one, but they'll be really excited about what you present them. Okay, I have one more thing to cover around this, and that being the second shooter is a great way to break into photography too. If you've been, you know, shooting by yourself for years or with a photo buddy or whatever, and you really feel like, you know, you know how to take a good picture, you know how to work your camera, you know how to interact with people, or maybe you're not sure how to interact with people, but you want to get better at it, then being a second shooter is a great opportunity to really kind of get your feet wet, get your confidence, and really get going in this area. Now, most photographers that are, you know, working photographers, either full-time or part-time, they really like assistants or second shooters who are good photographers most of the time. And there are always exceptions, and there are always big egos out there, and there's always that kind of stuff. But in my experiences, those aren't, you know, the guys that you run into most often. Most working photographers that I run into are pretty cool people. And really want help. They want to get good shots. They want to deliver a good product to their client. And so there's a great opportunity here for you to be a second shooter. Now, if you're interested in this, I have a couple tips for you. One is make sure that you understand some of the basics of what goes on for whatever type of photography that the person that you're considering assisting with does. So, for instance, if the person does a lot of outdoor portraiture, you know, maybe bone up a little bit on outdoor portraiture techniques, on using reflectors, on fill lighting, on positioning models, on, you know, hair lighting, on all that kind of stuff. Try to get familiar, because that way, when the photographer asks you to do something, such as hold a reflector or do something like that, you know, he won't expect you to just like automatically know how to do it exactly the way he wants. He's expecting to be able, you know, that he'll have to coach you a little bit. But at least, you know, he does expect you to actually know which side of the reflector to point towards the model, if you know what I mean here. So there are some basic sort of things there. So sort of figure out the type of photography you're interested in and the type of photographer you'd like to be the second shooter or assist with. And then, you know, bone up a little bit on what they do and then just start talking to people. You can call them up and leave messages on their studio phone. You can send them email if you can get a hold of their email from their website. Introduce yourself. Tell them some of your experience. Tell them that you would like to assist and, when possible, be a second shooter. And then keep it short and follow up. Follow up, because, you know, photographers, like everyone else, are really busy. They might get the email and be interested, but not, you know, remember to follow up, reply right then. And then, so a gentle follow up 10 days later will jog their memory, and sometimes you can catch them on the phone or whatever, and you'd be surprised. You can land work this way. Now, some photographers pay and some don't, and, you know, you're just going to have to figure out how you feel about that, depending on the opportunity. Personally, I pay because I think, you know, everyone should be paid when they work. That's just, you know, way. It might not be a lot, but at least, you know, it's definitely what I can afford. So, you know, I prefer that second shooters get paid. But sometimes you run into situations where they might not offer you money, and you just have to figure that out for yourself. But I think it's a great opportunity for you to really work with somebody else and learn their techniques and learn their approaches and learn how they work with people or whatever they're doing, and really build upon your knowledge to make you more confident and to make you a better photographer. So there you have it, the second shooter. Now, if there are more questions that you have or is something that I didn't quite cover around this, feel free to drop me an email. You can post a comment on the show notes. Let me hear from you. I think this is interesting stuff. And then keep in mind, regardless of the professional level second shooter, keep in mind the concept of being a second shooter to life, because I think there's a lot of great shots to be there. And who knows, maybe one of those will show up as a grab shot on the Digital Story real soon. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next week, and go out there and get some great shots.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, weblogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.